of the day?
Come on.
Sarah's kneading bowls. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you are... never mind. 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Let's all just get a breath here for a second. All right. I was going to play the My Chemical Romance song here, but it was a little inappropriate now. Seems it would seem a little... The thing about this jumper is now I can no longer play the... I have to wait a while before I can play the My Chemical Romance thing.
Why? Which one?
Because it's the... Well, I can play the teenagers one. Maybe I'll play that one later. Because the other one's all about...
Killing yourself?
I'm going to die. And
yeah, let's play the teenagers one.
Hello, I'm dead and so
you
forth.
You really need to download
and I got
Welcome
the Meatloaf,
to the
Black Parade. And I got the Welcome to... I don't have that one with me.
And then that video is all about a dead girl.
Yes, see, and I can't believe that. And then I have the... I have the most the creepiest song ever that we finally got. I got to give you a mini, which I cannot play. It's the song called DOA, which I can now not play. You don't even know. You don't even know until you hear it. You have no idea. I probably won't even be able to play it till like Friday. None of that matters, though, ladies and gentlemen, because joining us right now from Los Angeles, at Make Way and pay heed to your new god, Jim Roop. Hello, sir. That was the best understated response to my overstated delivery ever. God damn, how is your day going?
It's pretty crappy so far, sir.
Man.
Well, tell him. Maybe he doesn't know yet.
Okay, here's the thing. Would you like to know what's happened within just the 2 hours of the show? We've been on the air. We got another 90 minutes. We're going to get an hour and a half left. Here's what's happened so far. Just in today's program, here's what's happened. We've got voting irregularities and voting machines going belly up everywhere. Our entire phone system went dead at the beginning of the program. We have floods that are endangering lives in Oregon. We have a truck filled with hot grease that overturned on a highway. And Britney Spears just got a divorce.
Well, she filed for divorce.
She filed for divorce. Oh, and a guy just threw him off a threw himself off a building in downtown Portland.
That happened to me once.
Yeah, well, that's we were just talking about this. Actually, like 1:15, I said it is not, good, but it is fortuitous that we had this. You know, you and
talked about that once with me.
Yeah, because now you had a jumper land on your car.
On my car, that bastard. Yeah,
son of a bitch. This guy apparently. Now, this is we don't know this for sure, but it does seem we had a few witnesses actually. It was right in downtown. We had some people who were eyewitnesses call up, and another guy emailed. And by the way, Chris, if you are out there, it's not that, or Matt rather. We did absolutely believe you. We just needed an independent confirmation. I didn't want to say it was just some guy. So this is, if you're listening, Matt, it's not that I disregarded your email. But we had several people emailing and texting and phoning and whatever. This guy apparently was at the very top penthouse of the Paramount Hotel in Portland. And those windows, of course, are tempered, and you can't really open them all that far. So using good old Yankee ingenuity, he tossed a chair through the window first. And then jumped out, and then I believe actually landed either on or right near the chair. So it's all very.
Wow.
It's been a bit of a day, and we got like, and then we talked about that, and like 90 seconds later, we get this thing about Britney Spears filing for divorce. I mean, it is one hell of a day so far, Jim. There's a camera crew here today. It's crazy.
Wow.
So what's going on? Why is your day?
What are you doing talking to me? You got all that news going on.
There's always room. You know, it's like there's always room for Jello. There's always room for Roop.
Very nice.
And Sarah is unable to use her right arm and is badly needing a massage.
What happened to her right arm?
Well...
We had unpleasantness yesterday where the bridge was broken and I had to carry my bike, my 70-pound bike, over a bunch of barriers.
Over a guardrail. And so Sarah began today's program by noting that she needed one of those...
things with the kneading balls.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of those like muscle massagers that has the little cloth covered spheres that massage your areas, but it came out of her as like Sarah's kneading balls, mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of kneading balls comments and so forth. Well, what's up with you? You said your day is going badly. What's up?
It's just hotter than hell, and voters are stupid, and no one voting system is the same, and Bill Angelides thinks she's going to still win. You know. My wife's mad at me for I don't know what reason.
You should bring her flowers.
Nah, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, really? I think it's
a good buffer.
I know flowers. I don't think flowers.
Yeah, so it's like I'm groveling anymore.
Well, I was going to say, now, see, that may be a wife issue.
Whatever it is, it's not my fault.
No, well, it never is, Jim. We know you. You're a stand-up guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I think flowers work. Don't get me wrong. It is my experience that flowers are a universal fix-all, except unless the problem is just one of those. Do you ever get to this with your wife where it's like a whole lot of, you know, well, what's wrong, honey? Nothing. Well, okay, something's clearly wrong.
That's what's going on today.
Yeah, why don't you just tell me, and then I can fix it, and nothing's wrong, and then...
It's probably something I did like 4 years ago. And whatever it is that's ticking her off today, she's finding I'm the pincushion.
Well,
that's probably it.
My wife, now this sounds like a sitcom.
Maybe she's eating balls, I don't know. the massage thing.
The massage, that's what I'm saying. She needs
a massage.
The massage balls, the spheres that are cloth covered attached to the stick.
Better than flowers.
Yes. This sounds like a sitcom setup, but I swear to God, it was just a few weeks ago that my wife actually was pissed off at me for most of the day. And by the time I was able to finally, you know, it's like chiseling a diamond out of a rock. You're like, what is wrong? And by the time I finally managed to get it out of her, I swear to Christ, it was that she had dreamed about something. And like, I was mean to her in a dream somehow. And then she just carried this grudge about it all day long, about something I had done to her in a dream she had. And there's just, you know what it is, Jim? There's just no...
I can't figure these chicks out.
There's no dealing with that. You just gotta sort of grit your teeth and just square your shoulders and just go on with the day. There really is no logical... There's no logical whatever. You can't...
The only smart thing my old man ever said was, you just gotta love them through it.
That's the thing, Jim. You just gotta remember, you gotta look in the mirror and say, damn it, man, I'm Jim Roop. I'll get through this. That's it, so...
I guess, man.
All right. Well, Schwarzenegger's just going to cream everybody, right?
Yeah, he really is. And it's just kind of sad to see Angelides flapping like a flounder out of water, man. But he's, you know, he's got Mayor Villaraigosa behind him, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, all the Democrats that rallied behind him. In the meantime, they're going, he's going to drag us all down.
No.
This is the only state where the Republicans are going to win.
No. Well, that's... See, and I'm waiting to see what the returns are and how this all... shapes up, but I mean, we've already had McCarthy said that he went to vote like where he went to vote like none of the machines were working. I mean, it's and this country. What as
they,
I said,
they caught Mayor Villaraigosa voting twice in one category.
Is that true?
Yeah, man, beautiful. I was there. He put his vote in the Inca vote. He put his ballot in the Inca vote plus.
Yeah.
Thing. And it spit back out on him. It's invalid. Apparently, he voted twice in one of the contests.
Oh, you know that's going to end up being used by somebody.
I use it already.
Yeah, totally. That's one of those little anecdotal things that's all we need. Yeah. That right there is emblematic. McCarthy tried to vote this morning, and there was something. Whatever happened to, and I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to boil everything down to some overly simple solution, but for the love of God, whatever happened to you, they give you a pen, and they give you a thing, and you put an X in the goddamn box, and you voted.
It was easier that way.
It really was. And you know what? People say, well, yeah, but there were all kinds of ballot stuffing and corruption. You know, that happens now. You're just not able to spot it anymore.
That's true.
That's the thing, man. So, I mean, you know what? It is a common...
Yeah, you know, it took a little longer to get the returns back then. You know, when they had to open up the book
right.
And count the X's. But... Hey, it seemed to work fine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And you get these people, and I kind of love them, you know. I suppose they're trying to make the world a better place. But in Portland, here's what we're... in Portland, we are just up to our waist in just these idiot liberal pinheads that think that their whole common phrase is the thing they're always saying is, well, I'm fine with electronic voting as long as I get a paper receipt, which doesn't make any sense to me. And I was trying to convince Lisa Goddard of this. I'm like... I was telling Lisa, I'm like, if you're getting a paper receipt for your electronic vote, why don't you just use a goddamn paper ballot? And it's the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
Just vote on a piece of friggin' paper and go home.
Yeah.
So I always remember this, Jim Ropich. This has been a maxim that has stood us well. If voting changed anything, it would be illegal. Just remember that. That's what I'm saying. I don't mean to sound nihilistic about it. But you know what? It is as Yaphet Kotto once said, you know, nothing ever changes, nothing ever gets better. And that's the sooner you embrace that, the better off you're going to be mentally, because you will no longer expect things to become better. You will no longer expect problems to be solved.
Well, that's true.
So there you go. That's the official that's the Rick Emerson attitude on days like today. You just got to view it as pure entertainment.
Well, it's a beautiful thing that you're there on a day like today.
Would you like me to call your wife and try to smooth things over?
God, no. Are you kidding?
Okay. It was just an offer. Just trying to help, brother.
And she'd play that on me forever. Getting your school
school buddies to call your mom now, huh?
I can pass her a note in study hall. Yeah. Will you forgive Jim? Check one, yes or no. Pass back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you got to...
I'll deal with this in my usual way. I'll wait till tomorrow and say, hey, honey, you all right?
How you doing, baby?
How you doing, baby?
Yeah, you want to go out for pork chops?
You want to go get some lunch?
Right. Well, I know you got a busy day, so I'm going to let you go. Tomorrow we'll undoubtedly have a little bit of Britney Spears news from you, though. So
yeah. I finished the People's Choice Award nomination, so I'm just kind of... I haven't even gotten to the Britney Spears thing yet.
And just real quickly, did you see that thing about Faith Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, how great is that? If that doesn't warm your heart a little bit today, I mean, I don't know what does.
Someone's genuinely pissed off when they don't win something.
Oh, and people, I'm not trying to pass it off as a joke, as though that makes it any better. Like, the fact that you would jokingly be pissed off at someone else's success on nationwide TV when you are supposedly a salt-of-the-earth country girl. You know, so, I mean, so Faith Hill looks ridiculous, and Britney Spears is single, baby. It's the sun is peeking out from behind your clouds, Jim Roop.
I hear you, man.
Your day has a silver lining, brother.
I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
All right, my friend. Well, have a better afternoon than you had a morning, and a better night than you had an afternoon,
thanks,
okay?
Thanks, boss, very much.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you go there. Jim Roop in Los Angeles.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he sounded really... I was using all my best material to try to cheer him up, and he just couldn't be brought out of that funk.
Not even the needing bald comments are making me smile.
Sorry. We have... and stuff. Let's see, we have this, Rick. wait, hold on. Where did it go? Rick? Oh, where the hell? Where the hell? Where is it? Oh, it's too late now. I've lost it. It was something about them. Something about needing balls.
You know, I still can't find anything about the jumper on any of the local news stations.
It's really weird, actually, that nobody's really talking about it. I would be more than happy to loan Sarah my powerful needing balls. Many a person has experienced the joy and pleasure of my needing balls upon their body.
Didn't they send that earlier?
Please allow me to place... And this, we're talking about the balls, of course, that are on the massage thing. The kneading, the circular, spherical, cylindrical type balls that rotate when you plug the thing into the wall and turn it on. They're covered in cloth, and they are used to soothe aching muscles from sports injuries or other overexertions. He says, referring to those type of balls, Rick, please allow me to place my kneading balls upon Sarah's injury.
That would be nice.
Rick, all is forgiven. I love Brittany again. She is wonderful, Rick. Oh, man. It's the best thing ever. All right. Do we have to break again? I don't even know what the hell is going on anymore.
Maybe we should just take a break and get
situated.
Can we
just take a moment here and breathe?
I just hope that wasn't Joshua Jackson.
That jumped? Why did you immediately, and you accused
because
me of...
Because that's a hotel that a lot of famous people stay at.
I thought they all stayed at the Fifth Avenue Suite.
No, they scatter about.
Really? And this is the best thing is when you're like, Rick, admit it, you were thinking that too. You were afraid it was Joshua Jack. It never occurred to me that it was Joshua
Jack. Well,
Jackson.
He's in town. I'm sure he's well-dressed. I'm sorry, I just have to be honest.
it seems unlikely. He's got a movie coming out. Now, maybe the movie does badly. It's him. But no, he's got the movie coming out. Speaking of which, we got that whole interview with him tomorrow. Let's hope that doesn't go badly. All right.
Oh, thanks, Rick.
I'm just saying, no pressure. All right. If this doesn't put a smile on your face, I don't know what will. Hey, Britney Spears is single.
Woo!
A guy threw himself off the Paramount Hotel downtown Portland. Voting irregularities. Your democracy is in shambles. And a guy spilled a truckload of grease on Columbia Boulevard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're going to come back. We got My Chemical Romance coming up. Also, we're trying to spin that new meatloaf for you. Jim Riley's going to be the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitsenberg is going to be here later. We're talking about Joshua Jackson, who's coming up on the Rick Emerson radio program. You don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. You stay right there.
Gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they gonna give you a smirk, cause they got methods of keeping you clean. They gonna rip up your heads, your aspirations.
the awful names at the stick. You're never gonna fit in much, kid. But if you're troubled and hurt, what you got under your shirt will make them pay for the things that they did. They said,
there you go. My Chemical Romance from the Black Parade. Now it's 503-733-2970. Let's see. We'll get this call, a couple emails, and then we'll have Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. What a day. If you are just... I'm going to start and make a list here. If you are just joining us, let's see. Electoral disasters. Phone system gone dead. Grease truck spilled. Britney Spears single. Guy throws himself off hotel in downtown Portland, Oregon. Let's see. Roland, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
First of all, just the best 4 hours of radio I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, God bless you, sir. Thank you.
I've got a theory. It looked like the apocalypse was going to happen, but I think we need to put two and two together and realize it was K-Fed who jumped off the building.
Oh, it's too soon. There's going to be
two results. Number one, Britney Spears somehow has saved us from the apocalypse.
Hold on a second. Does this sound like Rob from the House of Rick?
No, it's not.
No.
No.
Say this. Say, I'm going to go all in with these kings.
I'm going to go all in with these kings.
Okay, it's not. It's not Rob. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so what is it? What are your two points here?
First of all, it's going to stop raining. And second of all, since we've been saved from the apocalypse, somehow in the next hour, Paul Stanley's going to walk into the studio.
Don't tempt me, sir.
Brother.
I do have to say this, actually. The last night we made the tentative contact with Paul Stanley's camp. Sorry, I sound like an aborigine. I send smoke signal. Paul Stanley, send back chiseled rock. We pray to small white stone. The Storm Large put us in touch with the guy who leads the house band from Rockstar Supernova, because they are backing Paul Stanley up. And now it all actually comes together in my head, because when we interviewed Nate Morton, who's the drummer for the Rockstar Supernova house band, he had asked me later, he said, hey, can we come back on and pimp our tour this fall? And I said, yeah, what tour? And he goes, oh, well, we're backing somebody up, but I can't say who it is. And I thought it was Mandy Moore, because I know that they had just backed her up before, and they were on her record. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it would be really interesting. But that's what it is. So Storm put me in touch with the guy who leads the house band. I talked to him last night, and he's like, he got all our info, and he's like, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll get this to Paul, and then we'll see what he says. So, who knows? I am now waiting back to hear back from Paul Stanley. So it could happen, sir.
I hope he brings his kneading balls.
Just going to bleep that. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. And we're done. Okay. There you go. No, we're talking about the kneading. Well, you know, the other kind of, not the kneading balls, but the rolling balls that my mom had with those wooden kind with a handle. And they have an axle, and they kind of make that squeaking noise. Those kind of wooden, they're big, you know, the balls that you roll on your back.
Nobody's paying any attention.
Hello.
Well, we had a couple of good hours anyway.
John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, you know.
Yeah. Hey, it couldn't have possibly been Kevin Federline who jumped off that building. Everybody was talking about how he was a well-dressed man, so I don't think that would...
Too soon, sir.
Yeah.
Too soon. Thank you, sir.
That sounds like the voice on those phone recordings telling people they're illegally registered to vote.
Totally. That if you come to vote, we will arrest you and you will be beaten with a hose. All right. Scott, I'm sorry. Scotty, here's the thing about the Paul Stanley, is that Scotty is racing to get it, to get Paul Stanley booked, because I promised a bottle of whatever they drink at the person who brings the Paul Stanley interview to fruition. So, all right, Scotty is scrambling to make that happen. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's buckle down and see what the next hour brings us. At the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
Almighty.
This is Tim Riley.
A well-dressed man plunged to his death after jumping from the window of the penthouse at the Paramount Hotel this afternoon. At lunchtime, eyewitnesses report a chair was smashed through the window, and then the victim jumped, landed on the street below, dead at the scene.
Ugh.
Then a truckload of grease spilled on North Columbia Boulevard, necessitating the closings of the exits to I-5. Well, that is cleaned up. Then about 200 to 225 elk hunters were evacuated from hunting grounds near the Cowlitz River. As the storm takes its toll, there's flooding everywhere. You know where flooding is, and you know not to drive into it, so we're not going to mention that.
Idiots.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says anyone who believes the timing of Saddam's verdict this time to the midterm elections is insulting the Iraqis and all of us.
I can't even believe that people would say such a thing. Come on. The Iraqis have been in this process. They've been losing people who have been under threat from terrorists who didn't want this trial to go forward. Any number of judges have had to step down. These are brave people.
Okay.
And to think that we have any influence in the Saddam trial, well.
So if you've watched any of the Saddam trial, if you've watched the testimonies of these people who lost family members, who found mass graves, people who suffered at the hands of Saddam and his henchmen, you know that this is very much an Iraqi process.
Okay. Stop bringing it up.
There you go. Good God. Do we have any election results from anywhere that we care about?
Well, no, the polls aren't closed yet.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's right, because it's only 5 o'clock back east.
Yeah.
All right.
I just we can make some up. I'm sure Fox is going to do it.
Did you see that thing that Fox was doing this morning?
No, I don't. I try not to watch that.
Oh, man. I only know because somebody brought it to my attention, so I went back and watched it. Fox was doing this great thing this morning where they were showing early exit polls.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I think it was in Ohio. I think it was Santorum. And it was like, or in Pennsylvania, rather. And it was, is that Pennsylvania? That's what I'm thinking of, right? Yeah, and it was Pennsylvania. And there was like, the exit polls had Santorum losing by like, you know, 1,000,000% or whatever. It's like Santorum 5%, like other guy 98% or whatever the hell. And so they're reading it. And the Fox guy, on the scroll below, it says, like, Rick Santorum, like 1%, challenger, did everything else. And the guy, as you can see, Rick Santorum, firmly in the lead, on his way to, like, reading exactly the opposite of what the poll. It was like a whole, it really was a weird, like, you know, you don't need to see our identification. It was like the Jedi mind thing going on there.
But Keith Olbermann's rant last night was spectacular. It's on my website in case anybody wants to take a look at it.
Can I just tell you, he, and not to just to be the latest in a long line of guys who are just falling to their knees and, you know, just in front of Keith Olbermann. But I got to tell you, man, it's... how much do you love that guy? And does he not... And I'm not saying that it's not intentionally. It probably is. I mean, he is... He said for a long time that that Edward R. Murrow... That I don't pretend to be an expert on Edward R. Murrow, but I mean, in broadcasting, especially working at this company, you cannot help but know about that guy. I mean, the legend... You know, he's beyond Cronkite, beyond Dan Rather, beyond anybody. I mean,
he makes you want to smoke.
Totally. And just to wear nothing but felt hats. Mm-hmm. Just the shadow that guy casts in everybody. Everybody on radio, everybody on TV, everybody at CBS is just insane. And so Olbermann, I'm quite sure, it's a self-styled thing. I don't think anybody would say that it's coincidentally. He very clearly is trying to model himself on kind of that classic, the golden age of Murrow's commentary. But you watch Keith Olbermann, man, he really does seem like he stepped right out of a 1958 newscast with those real, and he's such a great writer too. There's a flawlessly written monologue that he does about George W. Bush. I would encourage, are they at TimRileyMedia.com?
Yes, they are.
Go to TimRileyMedia.com and watch some of these commentaries that Olbermann has done about, in almost, in a tiny little way, it almost makes you sad that the Bush administration is coming to an end one of these days, because you won't be able to, the Olbermann will never, we will never again, and I know we got like 2 years left, but we will never again have so rich a target as George W. Bush. I mean, George W. Bush is sort of like when you're unemployed, and we always tell people, enjoy the time that you're unemployed, and it's hard to do, but when you get a job, you'll
not
kind of
appear in this industry.
For those of you out there who may, but enjoy the Bush administration while it's here, because you're never going to have a target like this again for your wit, ever, ever, ever.
Something of interest to the ladies. Celebrity makeup artist Tony Surrett recommends that you grow out your eyebrows for the fall and winter seasons.
Brows are a bit fuller, a bit less groomed and perfect than they have been in the past. And I think that lends an innocence and a youthfulness to the face when you haven't sort of, you know...
Okay, this is someone named Tony. Honestly don't know if this is a man or a woman.
It isn't a lie.
Brows are a bit fuller, a bit less groomed and perfect than they have been in the past. And I think that lends an innocence and a youthfulness to the face when you haven't sort of, you know, over-tweezed your brows. But
over-tweezed.
You're fine and have a good shape.
No, that's totally,
it's
that's
a national problem.
That sounds like the drag queen I met last night.
It does.
What?
I was at a Doug Fir party and I met a drag queen.
Oh, was it one of the our friends?
Yeah. I told him that his friend wasn't very nice.
Do we not mention their names? Is that a thing we have? All right. Hello. We weren't talking about a troop of drag queens just now.
Nate bought him a drink.
Okay. Here's
he
Tim
was
Riley.
Really nice. The other one was a little bit
this long, awkward cloak of silence. I'm just trying to pull the ripcord on that. And hello, here's Tim Riley.
Lindsay Lohan once again denying her party girl reputation. During an appearance on Oprah airing today, Lohan says, quote, I'm 20 years old. Is it a crime to go dancing with your friends? It is not. I have a life, and I have my family, and I have work, and I have all those things.
And she's a slut. Did you read the story?
She's a total whore.
Yeah.
And she's a slut. She's also trying to promote her new film, Bobby.
Is she in that?
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's why I said you would be interested in it, because we could talk about her antics on the movie set.
I thought you were talking about Britney Spears as relates to Joshua Jackson tomorrow.
Well, we can ask what they think. No, but I've been saying that Lindsay Lohan's in this movie.
I'm sorry. Well, there's so many people in this goddamn movie, it's hard to keep track. There's like Martin Sheen and a guy and some other guy and everybody. And anyway, so Lindsay Lohan. Did you read that blog posting the other day where she was talking about, like, I'm trying to get as many sexual partners as possible? Did you read that?
Yeah, right.
Did you read it?
No, I read how she thinks Sex in the City has made her a more sexual person.
But she actually said something about, like, I'm just trying out as many sexual partners as possible.
Yeah.
There's some statement of the effect of, like...
She doesn't want to commit
to one guy. Yeah, it was like,
I've kind of lost interest in her. She's lost interest in herself.
Every man is just a fleshy pommel horse to her.
She's just, today it was announced that she's going to start working on, like, 3 new movies. That's wishful thinking.
Is it serious?
There's no way.
Dead by
she's
25.
She's doing that Keira Knightley, like, lesbian movie. Announced. Yes, where she's going to be a lesbian in some movie. With
Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
Keira Knightley, let me just tell you this. Keira Knightley is so bony and whatever, but man is just has, and in terms of sheer, like, prettiness and, like, facial attraction, Keira Knightley is kind of perfect. I mean, really, you look at that girl's face. I mean, she's way too thin for me. But I'm saying, in like her facial, like the way, you know, just the whole, you know, just the way that her, you know, she's got the eyes and the hair and the whatever. I mean, that's a girl who pretty much needs wings and a halo. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And a camper's award, it's probably not a good idea right now to be camping along a river. Any river, for that matter, since they're flooding and they'll sweep people away to their deaths.
You're all going to die. Fantastic.
Then a large tree fell on a house on High Street and at 4th and 5th Street about 9 o'clock today. This is along, in Oregon City, apparently. It sounded like a horrendous crash, said a neighbor. It's a big branch and a big trunk coming out of the ground. One of those things about 5.5 feet to 2 feet... came down. It's all part of the tree. It's a huge old thing.
Okay. I'm sorry. Everything is hilarious to me today.
From the town of La Push comes word.
I'm sorry.
The Coast Guard used its helicopter to rescue a couple and their pets when water flooded their home near La Push on the Washington coast. They picked up Warner and Betty Knopp and their dogs, who are not named here. One guardsman stayed behind with another dog and two cats when the second helicopter returned to rescue them. No injuries reported from La Push.
La Push sounds like some French sex magazine.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. Hello, would you like to go on the back for a little La Push? All right. Oh, God, I don't even know where to start with these. Rick, again, here we go. You don't suppose K-Fed was at the Paramount Hotel? And it was not Joshua Jackson, to the best of our knowledge. I don't even think he's in town.
I don't think check-in time is
don't
so
tell
much
me that.
Later.
I have an outfit picked out for the movie tonight, just in case he's going to be there.
Which movie is that?
Okay, not really. Bobby. We're going to go see Bobby.
Oh, that's right.
Are we all going to see that tonight? The preview?
I guess I am.
Yeah.
If I can get here from the suburbs.
Let's see. What else is happening?
It has really good reviews so far. I'm pretty excited.
Okie doke.
Rick, the bad news is people are jumping to their deaths. Democracy is dying. We're going to drown in Mother Earth's rage and cooked in boiling oil. The good news is the new Transformers DVD has a fan commentary track. Yeah. This is Aaron. All right, well, there you go. There's a little bit of that. Let's do one more here, and then we'll welcome Dennis Pitzenbarger and blah, 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 and so forth. God, my head is just going to explode I swear to God, I'm at my threshold. If anything else happens today, it's going to kill us.
I found a really good Darwin watch.
Really?
To do that. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, a retired pastor and his son unearthed the skull and lower jaw of a sea reptile believed to about, 70 million years old. This is according to Montana State University. The find northeast of the town of Lewiston, Montana, represents the first complete skull of the long-necked plesiosaurus discovered in Montana ever.
The what? The long-necked what?
Plesiosaurus.
Okay.
Well, they're very rare.
All right.
They lived about 70 million years ago.
Okay. There you go. All right. Let's all just take a break. All right. All right. Should we welcome Dennis Pitzenbarger here, and then we'll... revisit the Ministry of Truth bottom. You know, Dennis strikes me as a guy who can give a good massage.
Ooh.
He is a large man. He is sort of a big...
do you give good massages?
Do you give a good rub, Dennis? I bet you do. No, not me.
Me.
Sorry. No.
Not too hard, though.
Oh, God.
If you don't mind.
All right. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Killing me.
All right, we'll revisit Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, at the bottom of the hour.
Is Paul Stanley here already?
No. What?
I thought you meant man massages.
No.
He's doing
All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know where to start with this email. Let's see. Hello. What's going on over there?
Oh, that was good.
Well, I'm going to get...
Let's keep
going. Well,
he's getting all flustered.
I'm getting flustered.
Her right shoulder there. Okay, don't kill her.
Well,
no, that's good.
Are you a gentle massage?
No, I like hard ones.
Scotty?
Okay.
Scotty, you know what you have to do.
You have to cut that out.
I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I smelled my hand and I made everyone else in my hand. I slur. There were total just skanky girls galore.
Fantastic. All right, thank you.
Do I have a folder?
Yes, you do. You have your own folder here. Let's see if there's
How'd you make it out of Brad's birthday party?
I actually say I'm gay all the time.
Why would you even have said that?
I don't know. What about the patty cake thing?
I don't...
We were a lesbian couple. Am I a lesbian? We were a lesbian couple.
Apparently so.
Why is everyone calling me for the alcohol? You should be giving it to me, Brad.
Because you're a drunkard.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, that's
I don't like my folder.
That's better than the one where I say you're a goddamn whore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Okay. Hello, Dennis. How are you doing today? Is it insane where you are?
Yes, actually it is.
I don't even know what's going on today.
Well, I told you earlier, you know, any day that makes you
Are you kidding me? Wait, hold on a second. Are you kidding me? Am I really reading this right? He's not screwing with this. This line one. Is this real? I swear to God, I'm going to pick up this line from Dante. I swear to God, if you're screwing with this, you're going to be banned from the show. No, it's just one more thing. I'm just saying I'm going to ban you from the show for like a month if he's just piling on with this. Dante, no. Hello, sir.
If I'm messing with you, I will ban myself for 6 months.
All right. This is now is what you are about to...
I am about to say is real.
Now, where did you hear this?
This is... I heard it on another station.
Oh, you sinner!
Where I was listening for...
Sinner!
...in weather together on the 8th.
Don't... Okay, don't do that.
It's briefly.
All right.
Now, as I'm listening... It's Macy's, downtown. The construction crew and workers have had to be evacuated, and they've had to shut power down because there's about 2 feet of flooding in the store.
Really? They've evacuated the Macy's downtown?
They had to evacuate the old Meyer and Frank, which is now Macy's, because and they had to shut the power off.
Jesus. All right, so we've got... Okay, a guy threw himself off the hotel. Britney Spears is divorced. Our phones went dead. There's, let's see, grease covering the highway, and they've had to evacuate Macy's downtown. Really, all I'm just waiting for is, like, toads and boils now. I mean, really, it's...
Sarah, Tim, do you guys smell smoke? Because I think Rick's head's about to explode.
Seriously, would you agree that this is the most insane day we've had? Probably. This reminds me of that day that Michael Jackson didn't show up to court. Remember, we were getting ready to do the news hour, and Michael Jackson, the team was like, this just in, Michael Jackson has not appeared at court, no one knows where he is. And it was like the most insane 90 minutes ever.
Yeah, then he showed up in his...
And that was the day he showed up in his pajamas, he was all stoned, yeah.
Yes,
all
no,
right, fantastic.
Greatest, best, and literally, I say this with all sincerity, best show ever.
All right, well thank you, sir, I appreciate it. You. All right, there you go, that's done. Hey, all right, so those just listening... downtown, they've evacuated the Macy's downtown. Not too far from our guy just tossed himself off a building. In the same city where some grease spilled all over the highway.
Now, wait a minute, I have a second Macy's story here.
Oh, God. For the love of God.
So, I don't know if this is... Macy's evacuated and later closed its downtown Portland store for the day after a small fire broke out. And the basement electrical panel, the fire started shortly before 11 o'clock, was quickly extinguished. But water in the panel caused smoke and cut electricity to all but the historic building's sixth floor. So apparently, the power went out due to the water and is expected to open tomorrow, apparently. So that's what happened there.
All right. So there you go. So a
small fire breaks out, an electrical panel, quickly extinguished, but water in the panel caused smoke and cut electricity to all of the building's floors except for the sixth floor.
All right. So
no injuries reported. They're expected to reopen tomorrow.
But the Macy's is evacuated downtown, so stay away from that area. Good God Almighty. All right.
Looks like I picked the wrong day to quit drinking.
Fantastic.
Perfect reference.
Well done. Well done, sir. Well done. Well done. Thank you so much.
I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
All right.
Chicken or fish?
I can't find the... where is the...
Now I guess the Hawthorne Bridge is covered with fire trucks and police cars.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. It's from David Krause.
I didn't even tell you guys the other day when I saw the guy in the brand new Escalade that thought he was cool doing the bumper bowling with his brand new $60,000 Escalade across the Hawthorne Bridge. That was excellent.
Oh, good God Almighty.
I want to get laid tonight.
Okay. Why did you say that?
I don't know. I want to get laid tonight. I think I was...
Yeah, what were you doing?
I don't know.
Let's give us back up with the
context here.
Oh.
I want to get laid tonight.
Yes?
I don't know.
Please to be explained.
Maybe I just
now
wanted to get laid tonight.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
I wanted to talk about Brad's birthday.
It's hot in here. Aaron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, I got your blue sky for you. The clouds have parted, and I see the blue. So if I see the Christ Almighty come down, then we know we're screwed.
I'm just saying, the clouds have parted, really. Like, if you see a conglomeration of the heavenly host coming down from the sky with flames of tongues of flame above their head, you let me know.
I will. Right. It's just this patch of blue, and the rain has stopped.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
All right. There you go. She's like a three-legged pony. All right. Stop it now. Hi, Dennis. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm afraid to even start anything now. Why is the Hawthorne Bridge covered in fire trucks?
I don't know. They might have just been heading to Macy's, but he said they looked out their window.
No, because that was 11. Tim said that was at 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh, and this was just a few minutes ago. I don't know.
All right, if anybody knows why, if anybody can tell us what's going on,
maybe it really is
Hawthorne
broken.
Bridge. Yeah, I don't understand. It's all gone wacky. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley will be back at the bottom. We'll be back at the bottom of the hour. Dennis Pittenbarger is here from pdxautoclick.com.
Yes, I am.
How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fabulous, actually. God, I've had a great day.
Yeah.
You know, I keep telling you, any day that makes it look like you've actually ran from the First Avenue office has got to be a good day.
It's true. I mean, it's not a bad day. It's just very, very busy. All right, well, here's... All right, so we got to talk about a few things, though, because otherwise it's going to be tomorrow, and then we're not going to get the chance. All right, so... All right, just to answer your question, we are working the Paul Stanley angle. We are working Paul Stanley to try to get him in because his show is this Saturday. So I'm trying to get him in on Friday. But the thing is, I think he has a show on Friday so in Seattle. So it may end up being a phoner or whatever.
Well, I need to look at my schedule because I will clear my entire... I will just tell people, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it on Friday.
That's the thing. It's like I...
You know, unlucky for most people, I now have a what you would call a key card.
For CBS. So I'm unclear. So it will probably not be in studio, I think, because I have to check his page again. But I believe that he has a show in Seattle, so I think it would probably be a phoner. But, I mean, you got to be here for that, too.
Oh,
how can you not be... How can you not be in the room when we talk to the Star Child?
Well, I think the biggest thing that you brought up when we were talking about this over the last week is, what do you actually ask him?
I mean, I have no idea, and that really is, and see, this is a perfect segue.
And what has he not already been asked?
That's my other thing, by the way, and because, like, first of all, you talk to somebody that you are a big fan of, you don't want to be an ass.
You don't want to ask him the same question that 400 people have asked him.
And you don't want to be boring, right? Well, that's like, I've never met Alice Cooper, and you know how I feel about Alice Cooper. I've never met him. And, you know, there's a list of things. You can't, like, you know, for a while, everybody would meet him and do the Wayne's World thing, and we're not worthy. And it's like, you don't want to be that guy.
No.
And it's like, what if he was a jerk, you know? I'm always afraid to meet people that I'm really big fan of, because it's like, what if they were, I just tell you, and I don't want to be that guy talking about, like, you know, the cool stuff I get to do, because nobody likes that guy. But, you know, being a radio, we talked about this the other day. Me and Sarah and Tim, we were making because they wanted in human resources, they wanted the five things we liked most about being a DJ. And we did know that you get to meet some cool people, you know, people that you wouldn't necessarily always get a chance to meet. And, you know, people can make all the jokes they want, but my wife is a huge Indigo Girls fan. She's a big fan of the Indigo Girls, and I've become a pretty big fan too over the years. And they were at our sister station, so they were at Kink. And I was able to wrangle to get Laura, because they were doing a live set in the studio, and I was able to get, you know, Laura in there. So Laura's, you know, she's been a fan of those of the Indigo Girls.
Oh, she went bananas.
Ever and ever and ever. And she was like 5 feet away from them yesterday afternoon as they were doing their performance, and then afterwards she got to go in and talk to them and meet them and whatever. And it was like a cool thing. And they were cool. They were really cool. Emily and Amy, they were really great. And it's like, but there's that trepidation. Right as you walk, I'm like, oh, God, what if they're jerks? You know, because it just shatters your whole world. So that Paul Stanley thing, that's a whole thing where I'm just going to have to, like, I'm going to have to just stress about it for days in advance.
You need to rely on your audience. Your audience can help you pick it. Now, I mean, let's go beyond the stupid questions, but you can rely on your audience to be able to help you come up with questions that even, you know, as your pop culture knows no bounds, it still might help you come up with some good questions that might make him interesting.
Well,
engage him.
And I don't want to totally geek out, because you're like some Star Trek guy going, and in episode 55, The Enemy Within, what was the combination of the safety you were opening to get your phaser out? But see, here's why this has pertinence, because tomorrow, 24 hours from now, we will be here in the studio with Joshua Jackson of Dawson's Creek, who's also in Bobby, which is the movie we're seeing tonight. Now, here's the thing. Do you want me to do the interview, or do you want me just to be in the studio?
I want us to both. I will print out all the questions tonight. I'll have all the questions ready, and we can both have the questions in front of us.
Okay, so you are making the list of questions.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I put a thing on MySpace, and so tons of people have given me questions, which is just
so what
awesome.
Is a sample question that you're going to ask?
Well, there might be an example of how you could do that with Paul Stanley. I think that if you guys bounce off each other, which obviously is the whole part of the show.
Joshua Jackson right now.
Now, Paul Stanley maybe Friday. Now, this is job, but this is tomorrow, man. Because here's the thing. I don't know anything about Dawson's Creek.
Forget about those 16 double platinum albums we're talking about.
But tomorrow, you know, that is Friday. Tomorrow is tomorrow. And it's not just her. Lisa Goddard from CNN was doing cartwheels about it. A bunch of the women who work in the office are excited. This guy, John Paul, who's the program director for a couple, his wife, she's like, is it true you're interviewing Joshua Jackson? And I had no idea that he was so beloved.
I think it's going to be a different type of interview. The interview with Paul Stanley would be, you just have to not fall into the trap.
So cool!
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Joshua Jackson, at this stage of his career, I think he's going to be a lot more open to just sitting here and talking about life and where his might be headed both personally and professionally.
Do you remember when you were in Kiss?
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Awesome.
I bought your box set online 4 times. Actually, I did just buy that new one, the concert one.
Sarah's mouthing the words at me. We need to focus on Joshua Jackson.
Okay, sorry.
All right, well, give me...
Well, we do, because that's tomorrow.
What are you asking about? Give me a sample Joshua Jackson question.
What was it like working on Cruel Intentions with Ryan Phillippe and Reese Witherspoon?
I don't know, Sarah. I'm really here to talk about my movie Bobby. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
Okay, well then, what was it like to be on the set with Lindsay Lohan?
See, there you go. Good redirect. Now, see, that's it. You got to role play sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you give you, and I've interviewed a couple people where you have to play the game a little bit because they're here to pimp their thing, you know, their project. And
so we can do some research, figure out, since he's working again with Emilio Estevez, we could talk about, you know, like how what was it like working with him again, you know, after he was a child actor with him such a long time ago?
I think what you probably do is you want to...
I want to ask a ton of Dawson's Creek questions, though.
No, but here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. This, you know what this is like?
Okay.
Here's what it's like.
Teach me the subtle manipulation of the media.
You're freaking out.
Okay.
You're wigging.
You were just freaking out about Paul Stanley. Like,
but I know, and I'm trying to
You are literally
rein it in.
Sitting on the edge of your seat. You know that.
All right.
I'm sorry.
So. All right. Here's what this is like. This is like when I interviewed Mark Hamill, who was Luke Skywalker, Sarah. And he was not there to talk about Star Wars. He was there to talk about this comic book called The Black Pearl, which he had written. And the thing is, it's like, and no disrespect to Mark Hamill, God love him, but I don't give a rat's ass about the Black Pearl. I mean, he's Luke Skywalker. That's all I want to talk to him about. And he was also the voice of the Joker, and that's kind of interesting. But it's really, you just want to ask him Star Wars questions. And no, before anybody asks, I don't have the interview. I lost it, so just get off my back about it. But, you know, the thing is, I just had to suck it up and ask, like, 10 Black Pearl questions in a row. And the deal, here's what I've learned. This is my experience. You take the new project, and you start off with like a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio.
Okay.
Like 3 questions about Bobby, question about Dawson's Creek. And then you can slowly decrease it. And, you know, 2 Dawson's Creek questions, and then a question about Cruel Intentions. 2 Bobby questions about Cruel Intentions. Then 1 question about the new project, and then a question about Dawson's Creek. And you do that for the first, like, half of the interview, and then by the time, because all he cares about is feeling like he's got enough pimping done for his new project.
Mm-hmm.
So then once you feel like you've gotten enough done, then you can just, at the end of the interview, you can totally just, you know, get the... And the thing is, you got to do the new project first. You got to get it out of the way.
Well, and we'll be super excited about it because we'll see it tonight.
Exactly. That's the other thing. We're going to see it tonight. Because that's all, once that's done, because that's his job when he comes in, like his handler gives him 1 job. When they send him in, they're like, pimp the new project. Let people know about the movie. Once that's off the table, then the thing is, it's like, then he can relax. Then he can relax and just sort of enjoy it. You know what I mean? He can enjoy the interview and just talk about whatever. Once he knows that he's got that off the table.
Yeah, because his handler's probably going to be standing right here. Yeah.
Also, increasingly open-end questions about what you really want to talk about as you're leading him down that primrose path. You can ask him those direct questions that will let him pimp the new movie. But on top of that, as you get into those Dawson Creek questions, a little more open-ended questions, like, you know, not as we joke, and what say you... But a little more open-ended will let him talk more about it. And if you're trying to get him to, if you're probing about that, that will get him to talk more about Dawson's Creek than, you know, a specific fact about the movie.
Like, for example, what was it like living in, you know, they all were confined to this one small town for 6 years while they were filming Dawson's Creek. So basically he lived in, you know, and ate and hung out with these people like 24 hours a day.
Spotty. Scotty is saying, he's typing on the screen, quote, I hope I don't catch the gay from this show. Yes. All right, yeah. Scotty.
Hey, here's a question. That right there, as you hit it, working on your new movie that just released and we saw last night was probably a different set of circumstances of how you're involved with the movie day to day versus those years you spent at Dawson's Creek where you lived in a small town with all those people together consistently. How was that different? And he's going to talk about the movie first, and then he's just going to run
on.
It's
like a half and half question.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I have been known to do that once in a while. Not the half and half.
I swear to God, I'll give you $5 if you work in the phrase New Direction.
Okay.
If you said, like, hey, let me just ask about this new direction in your career.
This movie will launch your career in a new direction.
Ooh.
I could totally say that. I'm desperate for $5.
Tell me, so you started off doing, you know, you started off doing television in a very teen-oriented medium, and it seems like now the direction you're taking is to branch out into really more serious fare. It's a different direction. Tell me about this, tell me about your new direction.
Ooh.
Yeah, I swear to God, if you do that, if you can actually make the phrase, Joshua, tell me about your new direction. If you can actually say that to him, I'll give you 10.
Okay.
If you just work in the phrase, tell me about your new direction, I'll give you 5. If you can say, Joshua, tell me about your new direction, I swear to you, I'll give you $10. Like,
he seems pretty smart. I think he'll probably get it.
What does he care? He's some hot chick asking about his new direction. What does he care? What's he gonna complain? I won't have this.
I'm trying to figure out whether or not he's dating somebody or not. I can't find it.
Maybe he's a confirmed bachelor with an interest in wine and theater. That would just make him hotter to you, though.
Totally.
All right.
And then we could definitely
call
a cocktail.
I'm just, that's true. Is that not true?
Where that came from you, I'm wondering.
No, but isn't that true, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
That would make him even, it's
even
like,
more unattainable.
It's like when you meet a hot girl, and you're like, hey, you want to go? She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm having sex with another woman tomorrow. And you're just like,
oh, really?
Well, all right, then.
Mind if I hide in the closet?
I swear to God, did you just say, mind if I hide in the closet?
Well, as long as I'm in there somewhere. I mean,
are you even aware of what comes out of your mouth sometimes?
You know, I'm 36 years old.
That was Dennis Pitchenbarger, by the way, who said, do you mind if I hide in the closet?
I've led with my chin for 36 years. It's only failed me a few times.
Okay. Hello. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Good God. This show is exhausting me today. I mean, it's a great, best show ever, but I haven't even started to read these emails about Britney Spears. Divorced.
You have a week. You have a month to just sift through
that.
Oh,
I hope that divorce turns ugly. Oh, please, please, please.
If she's already making him pay for his own attorney, it's totally going to get dirty.
Please let them be our domestic Heather and Paul. Please. Oh, good times. We'll come back with Tim Riley. Then we'll have Dennis Pitchenbarger here as we give away another pair of Tim Conway, Harvey Korman tickets. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program at the Dry County Crooks.